Well, welcome again as we continue our sermon series, It All Started with the Old Testament. A sermon series about how our faith is rooted not only in the Gospels, but in the heart of the Old Testament. Now, growing up, we all learned something called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. This is actually based on a direct teaching from Jesus. One place we find this is from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. He says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now pay attention to that last part, because Jesus at another time gives a similar but more specific command to the Golden Rule. Because last week we looked at this passage for the greatest commandment of the law. But Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, if you remember from last week, the Jews believed there were 613 commandments. And of all the 613 commandments, Jesus said these two were the greatest. For both commandments, Jesus takes us back to the Old Testament. Last week we learned that the first and greatest commandment comes from Deuteronomy. But both the Golden Rule that Jesus quotes and the sermon from the Sermon on the Mount and the second greatest commandment, they both come from the same verse in the book of Leviticus. And Carla read this passage to us earlier. Let's start with verse 18. "Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now it is very interesting on how Luke records in his gospel what Jesus said about the love your God and love your neighbor. In verse 25, it says, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" Now, this expert of law may have heard Jesus quote this earlier, but there's no doubt, being an expert of the law, he knew the law. And he certainly knew what it meant to love your neighbor, because if we went through the whole passage of Leviticus, it gives us a whole bunch of do's and don'ts about our neighbors. So after answering, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor," Jesus replied and said, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." And then the scripture says he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And who is my neighbor? Now, at first glance, this question seems simple, but the expert of the law really asked a loaded question. For the law was originally written for the Israelites. And if you read through the passage of Leviticus, it specifically says, "your fellow Israelites." This expert wanted to test Jesus and make himself look good in front of all the other experts. So the expert was really saying, "We all know the law, and I know you know, that this love thing only applies to the Israelites. Right, Jesus?" He really wanted to pin Jesus down. Was Jesus a true Jew or not a true Jew? He was essentially saying, "Jesus, we don't have to love any Romans. We don't have to love the Samaritans or the Greeks or the Persians or the Egyptians. They are not Israelites. They are not our neighbors. Right, Jesus?" He wanted to pin that down, because who could love the oppressing Romans? Who could love the Samaritans or the others that have for years war with the Israelites? But in typical Jesus fashion, Jesus turns things upside down by telling this very familiar parable. In reply, Jesus said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So let's identify the three people in our story so far. First, we have a Jewish victim. He was attacked, left naked, and beaten half to death. Now, I think the naked part is important because our other two characters were also Jews. When they saw this naked man, they would have seen that he was circumcised and therefore knew without a doubt that that man laying there was a Jew. The priest and the Levite would have seen that this man was their neighbor. Now, the order of priest and the order of Levite represented the law and the temple. The priest represents the law. The Levite represents the temple. That means they were responsible for everything related to worship, sacrifice, and keeping the law. If anybody knew what a holy God wanted, it certainly should have been those two people. But what happens? Both the priest and the Levite cross over to the other side. They avoid this poor man laying there naked and half dead. And why would they do that? Well, one thing you need to know about Jewish law, people would become ritually impure by touching a dead body or somebody's blood. And to this guy, he was certainly bloody. And to them, he probably looked dead. And according to Jewish tradition, they become unclean if even their shadow touches the body. So if they went over and looked at him and their shadow touched him, that would make them ritually unclean. So to even avoid that, they walk around him. Priests and Levites avoided impurity when possible because it meant they couldn't do their job. You weren't allowed in the temple unless you had been ritually clean. It also meant they couldn't be in their families or in their houses. And they had to go through all these specific rituals to be cleaned. And for 7 days, they had to stay outside the city. It was a big deal for them to be considered unclean. So two people who knew the law and kept the law played it safe and decided not to risk anything. But you see, they had a zeal for keeping parts of the law, but lacked compassion for other people. I think many people, that is many church people, talk a good talk. They come to church. They may even do Sunday school, read their Bible, do prayer and devotions. But I believe there are a lot of church people who lack compassion for others. There are a lot of church people unwilling to take a risk or go out of their way to help another person. And now we get introduced to the hero of our story. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, in contrast to the two religious Jews who passed by on the other side, a Samaritan of all people would not likely want to help a Jew. The Jews hated Samaritans. And the Samaritans certainly despised the Jews. The Jews believed the Samaritans to be unclean half-breeds. Jews were known to be hostile and derogatory to Samaritans. Jews would attack and berate Samaritans openly and public, accusing them of being less than them. Now, if anyone felt the right to leave this Jewish man laying there half dead, certainly the Samaritan would be the guy to leave this guy alone. leave him there to die. Certainly the Samaritan would say, good, finally a Jew got what he deserved. But that is not what happened here. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Verse 34 says, he went to him and bandaged his wounds by pouring on oil and wine. You see, the wine would have acted as a disinfectant. The oil would have been like a salve or a first aid ointment for him. Then it says, he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Now, to give you some perspective, a denarii was worth an entire day's wage. So this man spent well over 2 days' worth of wages, plus the additional cost of the wine and the oils and the cost of the inn. He took time to get him to a safe place. He spent the night with him and continued to attend to his needs. I would say this guy went over, beyond, and above what he needed to do, wouldn't you? And Jesus turned to the expert in the law with this question: which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus is teaching us that all people are our neighbors. He is teaching us to look beyond racial and social boundaries. Jesus is teaching us that we need to serve even when it's inconvenient and difficult to do so. Jesus is teaching us that we need to spend time serving other people. Jesus is teaching us that in order to love, we need to give generously. Jesus is teaching us that we need to have mercy for people regardless of what has happened to them, whether or not they brought it on to themselves, or whether or not that they deserve to be helped. And we need to help people whether or not they are one of us. Because let's face it, all of us are in some kind of us category. And Jesus concluded by saying this: go and do likewise. We are to go and do likewise. We are to go take action and do. James chapter 2 says, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, I've been really proud of many of the things we've done here at this church. Our ladies mission group, for example, has made tons of caps for cancer patients, fidget blankets for Alzheimer patients. We've collected personal care items and school supplies for local charities. When the COVID outbreak happened, a lot of ladies in this church, and maybe men too, I don't know, but made literally hundreds, if not thousands, of masks to donate to the frontline healthcare workers and first responders. We have people that work and serve at food pantries, people who provide meals to the homeless. But now more than ever, we need to be a people of compassion. We need to see everyone as our neighbors. We need to have a love for all people. And I encourage you to pray daily for God to reveal to you how you might serve others. And I encourage you to give as God leads you, because you never know what your act of kindness will do for that person. You may be the only example of God's love that a person ever sees. Did you ever think about that? You might be the only example of God's love that someone will ever experience. When we look at our world today, I think it's safe to say we're not getting any more unified, are we? Our political structure is more divided than I ever remember in my lifetime. And even within our own denomination, we are sharply divided. And I want us to remember that as we begin to discuss matters that divide the United Methodist Church, we also need to remember that those who oppose our views are also our neighbors. When we think about the politics that divide our nation, we need to remember that those who oppose our views are also our neighbors. We are not called to be vengeful, vindictive, or people who go on the attack. We are called to be compassionate in all that we do. We are called to serve, to give, and to love. And as Jesus commands us, let us go and do likewise. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, it is easy to look at other people that we don't agree with. It's easy to look at people who might live a lifestyle that is contrary to our own. We might look at other people and call them irresponsible. We might look at other people and have other names for them. Maybe we're on the poor side looking at the rich, calling them stuffy and arrogant. Or maybe we're on the side of comfort and wealth looking at others and calling them sluggards or lazy or hopeless. Maybe we're looking at the addict, calling them a drunk or a druggie. Maybe we're looking at the person whose family for year after year has been on social benefits and we just look down upon them and frown on them. We point fingers and make accusations. We look at those who have fallen away from the church. We look at those who we say have fallen away from your teaching. There are those who look at those who call them holy rollers or religious people, and at times we just continue to divide and divide and divide. And Lord, forgive us for creating divisions. Lord, forgive us for not being compassionate. Lord, forgive us for not serving others as you have called us to serve. Lord, change our hearts to have the compassion of your Son Jesus. Change our hearts to go and serve all with great risk. Lord, let us be the people that you have called us to be. For in your Son's name we pray, amen. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As we get ready to leave here today, how will you be the example of Christ's love this week? To whom will you show his mercy and his love? Let us now depart from here and show the world our love for God and our love for one another. Let us go through the unity in our faith of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.